Hi, I'm Rod.
And I'm Yasmina. Welcome to Life Trek.
Today we're talking about our last trip to Morocco, just sharing some things that we saw and did in Morocco, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we're gearing up for another trip to Morocco,
Correct,
but we
yeah.
never really
We never really talked about
shared,
it, yeah.
our last trip.
Last year we went to Portugal and we went to Morocco. This year we're going back to Portugal and Morocco.
Because I can't get enough.
And I'm sure we'll see other things or do other things, but we never really did talk about Morocco. We talked about Portugal, not so much Morocco. So that would give us an opportunity to talk about that a little bit, and just share some stuff that we did, which was really cool, and things we got to do. So we went to Morocco earlier than we had actually planned to when we first started that whole thing, because we wanted to be there for Eid and to hang out with family and do all of that.
And Eid is spelled EID. So
And what is Eid?
it's I mean, there's two major holidays in the Islamic religion, both Eid al-Adha and then Eid al-Fitr. And so the one of them is after Ramadan, after you a month of fasting, then you have Eid. We usually call it the small Eid and the big Eid. So the small Eid is after Ramadan fasting, you have this big, huge party, which we're going to be hosting here in the next couple of weeks. And then the big Eid is when, so Ibrahim was going to provide his son to be sacrificed, and then he replaced it with a goat or a sheep, right?
Yep,
I'm not the
ram.
one, a ram. Okay, there you go. You know better more than I do. So every year during Eid, you on in Muslim countries, they will be sacrificing a lamb, a calf, or depending on the size, depending or sheep, depending on
How much money
how
they
much you
have.
have, exactly. And so we all went in together, my sister and my brother and ourselves, and we bought
The cow.
a cow because we wanted a lot of meat. So and it happened to be on July 12th, and so we were trying to get there quickly so we can get be there in time
Yeah, so we
for
cut
the big
our
festival.
trip to Portugal kind of almost in half, not quite, but almost in half, so that we ended up going to Portugal and doing a lot of great stuff in Portugal, then went down early, down to Morocco.
Yeah, I flew from Lisbon to Tangier, and then
And then your brother
my
picked
brother
us
picked
up
us up
in Tangier.
in
And then
Tangier.
after we were done in Morocco, we went back to Portugal and spent another almost a week in Lisbon area and went to a lot of towns there. So that was great. But plane and we're headed because Tangier's on one side of the northern tip of Morocco. And on the other side of that northern tip is Martil, where we have our apartment, where your brother lives, where all your extended family for the most part is. And on the way there, like there were so many little trucks, little vehicles and stuff with like a sheep in the back, or everybody getting ready for
Everyone's
Eid.
gearing up.
Yeah,
Yep.
and cows and all that fun stuff that people were getting ready. And when we got to Martil, your brother had the cow in the courtyard back there, and I didn't see the whole ceremony and all the stuff that goes on with the actual slaughtering of the cow and all of that. I did see afterwards. So, well, I helped prepare like the liver, and that wasn't. I didn't do a lot, but I did help put the spices on that and the skewers and for the cooking. And then your brother, I was surprised how much involved in that your brother was. Like, he was very involved in it,
Yeah,
right?
we had, I mean, we had a lot of meat, and so the butcher helped us put it into ground beef, and we parsed it out, and
Oh
we
yeah, we
spent.
picked up stuff from the butcher too. No, I'm
No,
thinking.
that was our cow. That was the cow that we had, but we had picked it up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so normally growing up, my grandfather was the one who would slaughter the sheep, and back years ago, it was mostly sheep what people could afford,
Yeah.
and I just grew up seeing it. I was never fond of it. But during that day, there's people, just everyone's eating the same thing, and you have and a lot of the food is obviously donated to people who can't afford it. But
Yeah.
it's just a lot of cooking, a lot of meat. You're
Yeah.
eating meat for days.
It was, I mean, your brother did a great job, and of course the butcher, right? Yeah, no, it was a great
But if you're
gathering.
traveling, like if you're a tourist and you're traveling during either Ramadan or Eid, those are like the two main holidays, then you definitely get a different experience in Morocco. So if you want to see it, obviously, then you can try to align your travel days with the Eid. But normally, depending on, again, what city you are, growing up way back, during that time, it was not unusual to be walking down the streets and people had the head on the grill and they were grilling the head. And so like the streets just smelled of like, because everyone was grilling, just of smoke and meats.
Meat, yeah.
If you're coming in and you have no idea that it's Eid, yeah, you would probably wondering like
What's going on?
what is going on here?
Yeah, and if you're, I think a lot of Westerners too are maybe a little bit skittish. I don't know if I have the right word there, but behind the idea of animals being slaughtered, even though, they go to McDonald's and eat animals all the time, and yet that's what farmers do. I grew up on a farm too, and I had chickens and ducks and horses and all that stuff, where I've slaughtered lots of chickens, but
Yeah.
that's just kind of normal life.
Well, and it's slaughtered in a way, that's the difference between what makes meat halal. So if you've seen like the stores that says halal meat, it's because the animal was slaughtered in a way that's cut in the throat and it's blessed.
Because you're not supposed to.
Yeah. So a lot of Muslims won't even eat McDonald's because the meat is considered not halal meat. So even though when you're seeing the meat slaughtered, people, all the houses are, just taking apart the cow or the sheep. It's done in a way that you are blessing it and you're eating every bits and pieces of it, even the hide or the fur, it gets turned into a rug. So you're preserving all of
You're
that, the
using as much as you
intestines,
can.
exactly. Yeah, it's definitely more of a
And I think in Islam, you're not supposed to consume the blood, right? Which is why you cut the throat. You're emptying the up of the blood,
Yeah,
basically.
you let it sit there and it just all drains out.
Which is, by the way, how I used to do the chickens. Although I wasn't blessing the chickens, I was more angry that
That you had to that
I had
chore to
chickens
do.
in the first place. I was happy to kill them as a kid. It was a cool experience though, and it was really neat to be a part of that and see all of that. And it was interesting also watching like the kids, like his my our nieces and nephews, how they it's just that's normal to
Yeah,
them and
they're all there is
doesn't.
all involved. And normally you would have your own little, as the Americans say, tagine. So you would have them, and they sell them during Eid. It's just there's so many.
Which is a little ceramic cooking set for the
Yeah,
tagine,
yeah.
yeah.
And what we would do as kids is that you would then make your own little tagine, and it was fun. You would get a little bit of meats, and
Some
the parents would
veggies.
give you. And you would be out there cooking away in the neighborhood, and it's just fun to do. I didn't see that this time, but I have some really fond memories of trying to cook my own tagine. And I appreciate they provide a space for the kids to learn, to help out. Everyone is invested in that
That's
process.
cool. So we did that. We also, over the course of the year before we got there, your dad owns that whole building pretty much, and with several different apartments and businesses in it. And he ceded an apartment to your sister, to you, to basically some space for each of the kids. And so we have this little apartment that's in Martil. And we had been sending money and getting it made up nice, new kitchen, new everything basically in there.
When we say nice to the Western,
Maybe it's, different to Western sensibilities. But I mean, personally, I thought it was.
which we wanted. We thought, once you're living in a certain lifestyle, you kind of want, and you because we can do that. I mean, we both have full-time jobs that we wanted a refrigerator, we wanted countertops, we wanted a European toilet.
And so all that got put in. It was actually still being constructed. The shower doesn't have any walls on it still. The
There's not really
mirror.
heater, so you take cold showers.
And the mirror wasn't hung up in the bathroom, although now it is. We got that done while we were there, and it's beautiful. There was no air conditioning, and it was hot. It was so hot and humid there. But you.
Not that hot, but according to
Okay,
you,
to me, it was hot. It was really humid. And like, I've got film of there at night looking at the lights and everything,
yeah,
and
it
you could
definitely
see the
was.
humidity in the room.
Yeah,
It was so humid.
I just don't remember that, growing up. It's just funny how when you're a kid growing up, you're just so used to, you're acclimated to it.
Yeah.
But we wanted the AC units, and because again, you could you because we can, and we
Yeah.
wanted to set it up. Also because they live on a main street and there's just a lot of dust and a lot of cars coming in, and I just really didn't want the air pollution.
Yeah, the open windows and stuff like that. And yeah. But we had the AC units that were sitting there on the patio, and you started calling around and figured out somebody to come install it. It cost us $50 to install the AC units, which was amazing. And for me, at least, it made it much more livable.
Yeah, everything is there. I mean, depending on where you live, and we'll talk more about other towns that we visited. But if you're in like the major cities, definitely for sure, if you're in major cities. But even Martil, which is I would say it's a smaller town, it's growing. Everything is available to you because you're so close to Spain. You're paying still European, I would say, currency. Like the AC units,
Prices.
prices. Yeah,
Yeah.
I bought them for $500 a piece,
Yeah.
and that's what a local would have to buy. But that's why you don't see many local people having
With,
AC
yeah.
units, and because $500 for us, it was a good investment to purchase two of them, one in the bedroom, one in the living room, and
Yeah.
$50 to install it. We
Yeah.
could definitely do that.
Yeah. The dirham is 10 to 1. Your purchasing power there is not 10 to 1 for stuff like that,
Some things,
especially.
yeah, for
Yeah.
foods, we won't go into too much detail, but you can definitely live, I mean, a fraction of a cost here,
Yeah.
or you could live as equivalent to here if you're wanting to purchase items that have been imported,
Yeah.
because the price, it does not change.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting. So I know that there's, while we were there, they were talking about, and it might be there now, the IKEA that they were
Yeah,
going to
it's
put
opened
in
now.
north of Martil, and it'll be interesting to see what the prices are there if we want to check that out while we're there. But I suspect because it is in a more affluent area where they're putting that the prices will still be pretty high compared to local stuff. Anyway, but that's not all why we were doing this. We were going to talk about places that we've gone and seen. So your brother was kind enough to drive us all over the place, and we went over to Tangier from Martil, so back to the other side of the tip of Morocco. And the last time we were there, we also went to Ceuta, which is a piece of Spain in northern Africa that's kind of connected to Morocco. And I remember from there you could see across the Straits of Gibraltar and see the Rock of Gibraltar, which was really cool. On a clear day you can see it. I don't know, it's probably like maybe 20 miles or something like that across. I'm not sure exactly. But so we went over to Tangier this time on the other side. And from there, he took us to the Cave of Hercules, which was pretty cool. And I did take down some things on that, and not to get too boring, but that's supposedly where Hercules, which is why it's called that, spent the night or spent some time in that cave. And then before one of his challenges that he had to do, he went down to steal the 3 golden apples from Hesperides, which is a Roman city of Lyxus near present-day Larnach, which is like 30 kilometers south of Asila, which is another place we went along the western coast there. In fact, sometime I'd love to go there because there's the Roman ruins are still there in. That you can go see the amphitheater and the various things there. It was kind of neat.
Are you saying Larish?
Yeah, but the Roman town is right next to that, and that's called Lyxus or something like that. I think
Oh,
it's
okay.
Lyxus, but it's right next to Larish. Yeah, or Larish. Yeah, but the other thing about the Cave of Hercules is that apparently the Phoenicians carved. There's two entrances to the caves, one from the ocean and one from the land. And on the ocean side, apparently the Phoenicians, the story is that they carved out the opening to look like Africa. And from the inside, it looks like a reverse view of Africa as you look out. Whether that was natural or whether it was carved, who knows for sure. But
and if you go to Google two images, that pops up a lot. A lot of postcards have that image on it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a really cool cave with these sort of semicircular carvings that are all over the walls and ceiling of it that apparently they made millstones out of, all the way back to the time of the Phoenicians. And that's part of what grew that cave out, is just them carving away at making millstones in there. I guess there's even a story that, legends, that there's a connection between that cave and the Rock of Gibraltar area, like under the sea. And that's how the monkeys got from Africa to southern Spain. Of course, not likely.
Yeah.
but still, you know, kind of cool. It's a neat little area. And we toured around that. From there, we went down to, well, we went to the Cap Spartel Lighthouse. And that was the lighthouse that's looking over the entrance to the Strait of Gibraltar, which I didn't know until I looked it up. The United States, France, Spain, and Morocco, the sort of international coalition, built that together to mark the entrance of the Strait of Gibraltar. From there, also, you can see over to Spain on a clear day. Really cool. Then we went down to Asila. And at Asila, we got a whole bunch of pictures, and we put some on our Instagram page and all that. I put a whole bunch of pictures of doors in Asila because it was so cool to me how every little place had like a pretty unique door or entrance to the various homes and businesses and stuff like that all over that place. But I don't know. I thought it was a pretty neat little coastal town. There's a port there and everything.
Yeah.
Babe, I know. Okay, I'll stop it. But I know when to take a break, and I already have it written down when I want to take a break.
Okay. I don't have anything.
I got control of the time.
Gotcha.
Okay. Do you want, rather than worry about that, do you have anything you want to say about Asila or anything? Because I'm just talking away.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't remember those.
Okay. So, okay, well, let's pause there then. And from there, we'll jump over to the other coast and talk about when we went to Stihats and Chefchaouen and some other things that are on the other side of the coast. But I'll go ahead and break right here and we'll come back in a moment. And we're back. So, going to the other side again to your brother, he's taken us down to some cool places like
Shmela.
Shmela, yeah. Shmela was a town that was kind of way out there. And as you go down the coast, there's only one basically paved road that goes all the way down the western coast.
Which is done up now. It used to not be, from what I understand. Pretty dangerous, but it's done up pretty nicely.
The road itself, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes along a lot of cliffs, a lot of pretty nice-looking view sites and all of that.
You can get a taxi from, if you're not comfortable driving, you can get a taxi, which we actually did the second time around just this last year for, I think it was 40 dirhams, or, no, $40.
Yeah.
To go from, and it was like a two-hour drive.
Yeah, it was quite a ways. And the first time when we went to Shmela, which was just a little town with dirt roads.
Yeah, it's a great town to probably just go visit if you want to get an experience of the rural towns, how locals live. I mean, it's not very far from the beach either, but where we went to Stihats, that would be more Stihats, Wedlo. There's a lot of coastal towns along the way that were right off the beach, where Shmela was...
It's up in the hills.
Yeah, it's up in the hills.
Yeah. Yeah. Stihats was... We were, 2 blocks, basically, off the beach. Just a little short walk in a place that your brother rents that was nice. I mean, again, it's not the same thing that you would imagine getting an Airbnb here, right?
Yeah.
But it was nice, and it had a little room up front that you and I stayed in, another bedroom.
Yeah, there's a
I think just
terrace
the
and a
two main.
patio.
Was there just two bedrooms?
I think so. Yeah, two bedrooms and then a living room. We call them sala, which usually it's couches. I don't know the word in English, but there's just couches that wrap around the entire room because
And people would sleep on
most of
those.
the time we have large families. We're always in huge communities, and then yeah, you can then each person just takes up a space. You grab a pillow and a blanket or a sheet, and then you just find your place on that, which is called mthadab. And that worked out really well. But you and I, my brother, he told me, he kind of gave me an inside secret. He says, as soon as we get there, if you want the best room, as soon as you walk in the door, take a left.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and you and I got the master bedroom. Although, you know, again, there's no AC. It wasn't terribly too hot. There are also no screens on the windows as well, which it's kind of perplexing to me why they have not invented screens, especially with all the mosquitoes. So we were on the lower level, but now I'm going off on a tangent here because it's reminding me of the time when we were spending the night. The mattress was hard as a rock, so it's not like we slept peacefully. But at
It
about
was hard as
midnight,
2x4s, maybe.
at about midnight, I think it was around 11 to midnight, the people next door across the street there decided to do construction.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Hearing this
It's
jackhammer
like I
just.
don't know if they were doing it. So according to my brother, I told him, and he said probably they don't have any permitting, and so that's when they were deciding to do it. But my thought was also maybe it was too hot during the day, so they decided to do that. So either or. I'd like to think that it was too hot during the
I think the permitting argument's probably closer to the truth.
day.
Yeah. But yeah, that was crazy.
And then there was this
Then the,
bird that just
yes.
didn't want to shut up. So after
A
a couple of
rooster,
days,
even in
yeah.
the middle of the night, it was still like
That's what it
talking.
was, a rooster. I was thinking the bird that was in Portugal. These birds just will not leave us alone
Yeah.
right outside of our window. So we only lasted a couple of days there, and there's not a whole lot to do. My family rent out that space because it's just a nice getaway,
Yeah.
especially for children, and so you have access to the beach. Like you
And the
said, it's
beach was beautiful.
2 blocks off from the place, and it's this long boardwalk. It's still very much underdeveloped, and so because Mart Hill has been overdeveloped at this point, you know, with just huge resorts. Think Cancun. You know, a lot of these
Yeah.
poor countries, and then people come in, the developers lined
Drop
pockets with
millions
money.
that locals
Yeah,
can't afford anyway. Yeah.
exactly. And so a lot of people have been now flocking to places like Stehats because it's still affordable. The beaches are super clean. The food is very, very reasonable. But again, keep it in mind that this is a local town that's 2 hours away from any major city.
Yeah.
So you're talking very rural, very.
The roads in town were paved.
They were
It was
paved.
a, I mean, there was only one paved road getting there down the coast, but the roads in town were paved for the most part. I mean, until you got off the beaten path a little bit.
And I have to say, I did notice, I mean, both you and I drive, and I don't have a problem driving in traffic and rush hour. But I did notice that when they do drive there, they're kind of not purposely, it seems like they're trying to run you off the road and you need to get out of the way. And so they come up so close to you and you need to merge, even though like you're going the speed limit. So I don't know if I would feel comfortable driving
It's pretty
the.
aggressive
It is
driving.
very much aggressive driving,
Yeah.
yeah. And with the taxi driver, he does that route. That's pretty much his route all the time. And I felt very, very safe
Yeah.
going with him.
I don't know if I would. I've thought about it, but I don't know that I would want to rent a car there, only because it is pretty aggressive, and I would hate to like get some fender bender, you know. But Stehats was nice, and you could go down to the beach, which we did a lot. And had a picnic on the beach. I climbed up on the rocks and took some pictures. It was really pretty.
Yeah, you could rent chairs and umbrella. I rented I think it was 50
oh my gosh,
a
that
chair.
Was, I know what you're thinking of.
Oh, no, actually, I wasn't going to tell that story, but man, I could tell that story. And so it was a lot of us. And so what I did, I decided to rent the chairs.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was like 50 cents a chair, super inexpensive.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the kids...
Just plastic chairs.
Just so. Plastic chairs, yeah. And I had tables side by side and some umbrellas, and we put all of our stuff on there. We had... Because we had kids that ranged from 4-year-old all the way up to, I think, like a 20-year-old. So we had lots of different towels and balloons, or not balloons, balls and things like that. But a lot of the kids were coming and going, so not everyone was sitting and utilizing those chairs at the same time. But this lady next to us decided to pick up the chair and take it. And I said, no.
Yeah.
You know, I paid. Maybe this was my American. I paid for it. But... She's like, well, I don't have a chair. I can't remember what she was saying, but the assumption that it belonged to her. And I, you know, was like, no, go get your own chair. But I don't think that those people were the locals. What we've experienced growing up, people from the South
come up.
Yeah. And they take over on some of those beaches, and because it's so hot in Fez and Marrakesh and, you know, and I have to say, in the Mediterranean, there's beautiful beaches. It's very inexpensive.
It's like that whole, in Seahawks, it's a tourist town because it's a coastal town, but it's not a Western tourist town. It is a local tourist town for people coming up from the South, as you say. Yeah.
So if you're a tourist, I mean, I would highly recommend to go visit, to take a look. You see more of Morocco.
Yeah.
The mountains are beautiful, the hills. Like, it's something I just did not grow up, you know, experiencing, and beautiful beach town after beach town.
Yeah.
And, but keep it in mind that if you are from...
Yeah, just any Western country.
Any Western country, fairer skin. And if you look like, you know, you're from the UK.
Because I was the only white guy.
You were the only white
guy.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, if you're traveling into those places, like you were just saying, I think that was a great point, is that it is a vacation place for a lot of other Moroccan cities, but there were no white people at all, no tourists, you know, whatsoever.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll say, obviously, I was hanging out with you and the rest of your whole Moroccan family, so I was part of a group, but I didn't have any issues there at all. I didn't have people looking at me weird, which I have in some places, even in Martil. I've had in a few places, mm-hmm. but there I didn't really notice that so much. I get people looking at me, which I get. I'm the oddity, you know, I'm the one white guy that is anywhere for probably, you know, 100 miles, but still, it was fine. I didn't ever feel unsafe or anything like that.
Yeah. And we were just discussing that earlier this morning, like it'd be different if you were in Tangier, because there is an American school in Tangier. It's right off the port. I mean, it's very common to hear multiple languages in Tangier, because you're right off the port. People are coming in and out. But as soon as you start going to those rural towns, just keep it in mind that, you know, there are going to be looks and stares, just because it is their community, you know, and they are just kind of
observing
who's
coming
in.
Well, you're just an oddity anyway, because how often do they ever see white people in those towns, or anybody that's not, you know, looking and acting like them? Almost never.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, it's like a friend of mine who went to Japan many, many years ago, way in southern Japan, where they almost never saw Americans. And he was like a local celebrity because he's so unique. They just mm-hmm. never saw white people there, except maybe on television.
Yeah. And so, I would say for women, and I know it's still there. I've seen a lot of blogs, people write that, just being a bit more conservative. I mean, I don't wear the hijab. I wore a long dress, and mm-hmm. I definitely was swimming in my bikini or anything like that, especially as a middle-aged woman. Mm-hmm. Am I middle-aged? Makes me sound so old. You know, kind of know where you're at. And if we've gone to those resorts like Cabo Negro, which is on the west.
It's a very affluent little area in northeast Morocco, mm-hmm. right on the tip.
So your audience is going to be different. And yes, people from Spain, people from all over, lots of Europeans. But in Stihats, you know, you're talking cheap foods, local restaurants where you're sitting on the sidewalk.
Yeah, they literally set us up and on the sidewalk with some plastic tables and some plastic chairs. Really tight, tight little space for. We had a pretty good sized group, though. I mean, they did it as good a job as they possibly could have with what they had, and it was like this little, what do you call it, cinder block box of a restaurant where they were cooking up the food in there and bringing it out to us. The food was great. It was fine,
Lot
like
of meat.
a lot of meat, yeah,
And it's
but.
fresh, like fresh meat with all their spices, you know, fresh homemade bread, everything is done.
But you're also right on the street. It's open air. There's no cover. If you were doing that, we were at night. If we were doing that in the middle of the day, I would have been a tomato. I would have been baked. Locals walking by, very busy. It's a little bit dusty. Like it's what it is. And you got to be okay with
And
that.
I appreciate you not being high maintenance about it, because it's one of those things where you have to be very flexible. Like, is this where we're gonna eat
Yeah.
dinner? Yep, this is where we're gonna eat.
Yep.
I don't know if there is a bathroom. I don't know if there is, you know, a gluten-free
Which there
option
definitely isn't.
or a
Yeah.
dairy-free or all those other.
None of that. Yeah.
Nope, here's your meat. And a lot of times it's like the dead meat is probably in display, and so you get to pick and choose
Yeah.
what you're wanting to
But
cook up.
it's fresh. I've never gotten sick traveling there, and I've eaten in plenty of places like that, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of street food.
Yeah. But anyway, from Stihots, I was going to also transition also down in that area, but up into the mountains that we went to the first time we went down there together was Chefchaouen. And we never really talked about that too much. But Chefchaouen is kind of famous for one, it's this way up in the mountains, and the views all over the city of the mountains around you are incredible. But two, all the walls in the city are painted blue, or most of them are painted this sort of baby bluish, really pretty.
And
So,
that's usually popular. Again, one of those, it's like an iconic place when people go to Morocco. They hit up Chefchaouen. It's just worth going to. And then you can also purchase tagines. And once we did our tours, lots of walking. I mean, be prepared to the just, it's a lot of uphill, a lot of stairs, a lot of walking through the alleyways. But then you can, there was a restaurant that had like a little waterfall and water and
They literally put us in the river, which was very, very shallow. I'd be a couple few inches, but in the stream, I should say, with a table and chairs, so your feet could be in the water, and they kept bringing out the food, and there was a lot of food. Very, very good, though. It was delicious. But again, it was made from this little cinder block, tiny little building that was just next to the river. And very
yeah, a
friendly,
lot of
they.
tagine. You can do meatball tagine or a fish tagine, a chicken, you
Yep,
know. They're
I think we had one of each, basically.
probably.
Because and we shared all the food, and it was really, really good.
Yeah, a lot of Moroccan food, it's shared within one plate or one tagine, and then multiple little platters on the side. Like everything is community based. It's
Yeah.
not, you know, in some places in restaurants now, you can obviously order your own entree, you can order your own appetizer. But if you're going to those small local towns, you know, it's a lot of seafood and it's just fresh seafood and it's like a lot of tagine, fresh bread,
Yeah.
minced tea.
Like that little restaurant, if you walk through Martil to the beach from where we have our apartment, and you walk down to the beach, I remember there was one little restaurant there, which is a very Western looking type place, and we ended up taking our niece and nephews
Oh,
there.
yeah.
And you can get individual plates and all of that there.
Spaghetti, lasagna,
Yeah, you
yeah.
get all kinds of stuff. You're paying a little more price because one, it's on the beach, two, it's what it is, right? It's this more Western thing and it's more geared for tourists and all of that. But so that stuff is available in the bigger cities. But if you want a local taste and really want to experience what it is like for locals, then going to those local restaurants and whatnot is definitely worth it.
And asking people, like, luckily we do have my brother, but if we didn't have him, We would have just asked, you know, where would be the best place for fish tagine, you know, and people will tell you, or you can kind of see the restaurants as they're lying down the street, which ones are busy, which ones are packed. The prices are pretty much going to be the same thing. We kind of saw that with Portugal too, where here it's a little bit different. I mean, we have such a variety of places, especially their price wise. You can go into one place and, you know, go to like Panera and spend $15 on salad, and then go to like an actual nice sit down restaurant, a mom and pop place, for $15 of a salad. Where in Morocco, the prices are pretty much the same.
But
you know,
you just said that they're the same for Panera's and the mom and pop place.
Well, yeah, because Panera is like a kind of it's a chain, mm-hmm. and you don't really get that atmosphere.
Oh yeah, so you're getting a lot less atmosphere, but you're still paying high prices.
High prices. Where there, if you are going into those mom and pop places, it's pretty much all the same price. And if you go into like, you know, a nicer Western place, you're going to pay for higher prices.
Yeah.
But here, you never know. I mean, McDonald's is expensive. You walk in there, you just kind of never know. So I think finding good places to eat, I know a lot of there's things on Yelp. What I appreciated now on Google Maps, you can go to Google Maps and pull up the menu of a lot of places. Mm. I think in the past, maybe folks were a little bit skeptical about, you know, food poisoning or cleaning standards and things like that. But you can now go on Google Maps and look up the reviews and kind of read the menu ahead of time.
Right.
Because I would say in some places, expect, if you are a foreigner, expect that you are going to be charged more. It's just, you know.
Yeah. It's like, I think I've said this before in the podcast, but it's what I call travel tax.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to pay a little bit more because either something like that or something just went wrong and you ended up having to pay more than you thought you would or whatever. You just got to be okay with that and build it into your budget.
Yeah. And if that doesn't completely hurt your budget, you know,
yeah,
hey, you're contributing to the economy there.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's
exactly
what they're looking for, tourists.
Yeah. The other place we went to last time was Tetuan, and went up to the market up on the hill,
mm-hmm.
And the Medina, I guess, which I didn't know until I was looking it up afterwards, that that's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And it's, even though it's one of the smallest of the Moroccan Medinas, it's also the one that is the most intact with less outside influence from, you know, probably big stores and things like that. So when you go there, it's a wall, or at least the center part of it is a walled city with seven gates into it. And then you basically start at the bottom. I don't remember the kinds of things they had, except I think they had meat down below. Is that right? And then there was like vegetables as you went higher up, and coming down, there was like water flowing down the...
Is that when we went inside the little...
Yeah, we're going up the warrens of the mm-hmm. of the whole place there.
I used to know all of those alleyways, like the back of my hand, and then it takes you out to the... After you go through from like the bottom,
yeah,
and then you come through, yeah, and you go
through
shopping,
all
those
tunnels,
yeah, and there's lots of bazaars you can buy, everything from like vegetables and fruit, yeah, leather goods all the way through. That's where I used to do my back to school shopping.
Is it?
Yep. And then you go. Then once you enter, get to the top, it opens up to that huge
plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's lined with cafes and Tetuan has always been like one of my favorite cities. Because it's been influenced by the Spaniards, so
that's another thing I looked up, that the Andalusian, when basically I guess the Moors got kicked out of Spain, so long ago, and there was all these refugees that ended up coming down to Morocco from Spain, and a lot of them settled in Tetuan, and so the architecture and everything there is a mix of the Andalusian Spanish influence as well as the Moroccan one. And that's part of the reason too that city was kind of untouched by a lot of things that went on later, but and why that market is still so the way it is. It's so cool. And that plaza at the top you mentioned looks kind of like a pretty good blend of Moroccan and Spanish mm-hmm. culture just humongous open plaza up there.
Yeah, it's still, I would say, not as developed as like those larger cities as far as the tourism. So yeah. It's still very affordable.
Yeah.
And from Tetuan, you can catch a taxi or take the bus, the city bus, mm-hmm. and you can go down to Martil, which is like maybe 20 minutes, and mm-hmm. you can go to the beach. Or from Tetuan, you can go to the main bus station and take the bus all the way, well, all the way to Marrakesh, but you can certainly take it to Tangier, to all lots of different places.
Yeah, and that's why there's not a lot of probably locals there, although there is, as you said, there's an American school there and there's other things there.
Oh, in Tetuan?
Yeah.
There's an American language center.
Yeah, thank you. But there's, but it's pretty far from the beach and all of that stuff, so there's not a lot of exactly, except for the Medina itself, not a lot of tourist spots. Also, Tetuan's known for its fine arts school and its arts and crafts school there, I guess, which are pretty famous. And the mountains. Like you, mm-hmm. when you start at the bottom down there and you're looking, there's places where you're kind of staying on these pretty high little cliffs, and across from you is the valley, and then they just huge mountains that it looks like something out of a video game or a
and movie. Beautiful hiking trails. I mean, my brother has hiked a lot of those mountains.
Yeah.
And I have not, I have never done that before, but that's something I'd wanted to do. It's just every time we go, we're pressed for time. There's so much to see, so much to do. And we're hoping in the future that we'd spend more time kind of exploring those parts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love that. We definitely get our steps in when we're in Morocco. We do a lot of walking and going places and all of that, but we haven't really gone on any hikes like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. That's all I could think of with regards to like things that we have seen. I'd love to go down to like Fez, go down to...
It's a lot of people. We were saying earlier today, I mean, everyone that I know that has gone to Morocco, it was like, yep, they went to Fez, Marrakesh, Agadir, Essaouira, Casablanca, Rabat. And again, I'm sure those are such great cities. So normally when we travel, it's going to be in the summer. So usually beginning of June or
it has been up until
July.
Now.
Yeah.
Because we have kids in school.
Yeah. And that's just not a time to go to Fez or Marrakesh. I mean, it's just, you know, I want to go when it's in March. But also the northern part, not that I want a lot of tourists coming to the northern parts of Morocco, but I think that it does tend to get overlooked because it's not as famous and popular as a lot of the other cities. There's, like when you mentioned Asila, there's a lot of history there, Chef Shelwin, but there's rural towns like Stehat and Shmela. If you're wanting to really experience the local Moroccan community and beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
And just fresh foods and meats, you know. I mean, but if you're wanting more touristy stuff, then of course, kind of what you mentioned, Ceuta, on the way from Martil to Ceuta, there's just Cabo Negro, Marina Smear, Kabila. I mean, it's just, I think Cancun, along the coast there.
Yeah,
resort after resort. Beautiful
spendy.
Villas.
Yeah.
They're a gated community, very safe. Marina Beach. And then you finally hit Ceuta across the border into Spain. And that's always, I mean, I like to have a little mix of both.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we always drive up while we're there and we spend some time on the beaches up there and hang out for a day or whatever. But then we go to all the other places that we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And so this time we haven't quite planned out our itinerary. I mean, we got our itinerary pretty much planned out for Portugal.
Yeah.
And then for the next couple of weeks, we have not really done that for Morocco. So we'll have to
see what our itinerary looks like. Although I think we're also going to be spending some time trying to think about what our apartment's going to look like and work on that a little bit too. But I'm really looking forward to this trip. And then in Portugal, we're still looking for a place because we've considered retiring to Portugal.
I already found a place. I don't know what you're talking about.
You found a city.
I found a city, and yes. I'm not going to share it because I don't want any more of you.
You found a city, but like an actual place there. And I think we're going to spend more time just looking at that. We'll probably spend some more time with friends that we have there and, you know, getting to know the surrounding area a little bit too. So I'm really looking forward to that. But, well, looks like we're more than out of time. Thank you all for joining us, and we hope you got something out of this talk. If you ever go to Morocco, especially the northern tip of Morocco, where we're talking about, leave us a note or drop us a message on our Instagram page at instagram.com/alifetrek, all one word. Definitely, if you want to see some pictures and some of the touring around that we did of Morocco, go take a look at that Instagram page, because we have some videos out there and some pictures and things like that that might just enhance a little bit of what you heard today. Certainly, if you've spent some time up there, I would love to hear about your experiences, and drop us some notes there at A Life Trek. Thank you for your time. Bye.